I'm your host, Jeff Dawson, for another episode of Dawson's Domain, where we cover the spectrum of life's pressing issues and events, from politics to relationships, sports to horror, alternative history to poetry, humor to baseball coaching, and everything in between. This is Jeff Dawson from Dallas, Texas, which for September, it's a pretty nice day for a change. It's only in the mid-70s, which years past, that could run, we'd still be in 100-degree temperature. This week, I was going to do a follow-up from the show I did 2 weeks ago on relationships, but that's going to change a little bit. I'll cover that on the next one. In the last week, I ran across a lot of free videos on YouTube, and they all dealt with one of my favorite subjects, which is World War II. And the shows were War and Remembrance, Winds of War, that's a 12-part series, Escape from Sobibor, Last Train to Auschwitz, Hanoi Hilton, Fury, in Atlas Shrugs. Now, I know that's kind of an odd combination, but there was a defining message in all of these shows if you watch them. Like I said, they're free on YouTube. Excuse me. In World War II, for those of us who've studied it and aren't buying into the current books that say the Holocaust never happened, it did. And yes, there are books out there that say that 9 million, the Germans did not gas and burn 9 million people. I still can't quite grasp that concept, but there you have it. How in the world, and this question has been asked for decades, and we've even seen it in this current mask debate over the COVID, and you've seen the people posting the boxcars, and then if the government told you to do this, you'd get into it. Well, those analogies are about as thin as ice road truckers trying to take a 80,000-pound load over an inch of ice. Yeah, that kind of falls through. Hitler wrote it in Mein Kampf, and he got his propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, to sign on board, along with all of the other top-ranking national socialists from Nazis, that the Jews were the enemy. In fact, basically everybody was the enemy to Germany, with the exception of maybe England and the Scandinavian states. Yeah, that's why he invaded Norway, made Sweden a neutral, and Finland became one of their allies. He hated the Poles, he hated the Czechs, he hated the Slavs. He definitely hated the Russians. There's no doubt about that. But how could a people as intelligent as the Germans were fall for this concept that the Jews are the enemy? Well, they started doing it with laws, slowly but surely. You study enough of this and you can see it. And I believe it started in 36. He's letting it be known that Jews need to go, that they are the ones that lost World War I. No, that was just bad planning, is what that came down to between Hindenburg and Ludendorff. But Hitler realized the power of the press and propaganda. And in these shows, this is what keeps coming out. How in the world would an intelligent race of people fall for this? Well, when you control the media and then you start controlling the educations, college, for us it'd be high school, junior high, and elementary, and you keep hammering these concepts every day. It's in the paper, it's in your schools, it's on the radio, because obviously they didn't have television back in the 30s. But you are just overwhelmed with it to the point that it's got to be true. They've got to be our enemy. Nobody raised a hand during Kristallnacht when Rome released his brown shirts and Hitler and Himmler were right in there, and they just went and destroyed all of these Jewish businesses and burned down hundreds of synagogues. The Gentiles didn't raise a finger because they had been convinced that even though they had been neighbors with the Jewish race for decades, they had broken bread with them. They had spent time with them. Their kids went to school together. They grew up together. All of a sudden, their friends became the enemy because the state told them they were. How does that happen? It's called propaganda. And it's every day. And, you know, then we have the resettlements. Or so the German people are told, well, they're being resettled to the east. And we know what happened there, don't we? Sobibor, Treblinka, Bergen-Belsen, Birkenau, Auschwitz. These were the death camps. There was a resistance. Not many people know about that, but that's this movie, Escape from Sobibor, shows exactly when they realized what was going on, they were all going to die, and they finally decided, okay, we are going to die fighting. We aren't going to wait for them to gas us and then burn us and dispose of us, and there's no one to document the evidence. But there were some people, and they did try and get the evidence out. And some of it did get to the United States. But who in the world, in their right mind, would believe that the Germans are exterminating an entire race? It was unfathomable. It didn't matter how many stories were coming out from the partisans in Poland or some of the Jews that escaped. Hell, I worked for one in Tulsa. I did his lawn. His name was Mr. Ray. And we were talking one day, and I'd had to have been about 14. And Mr. Ray always wore long sleeves. He was a tailor by trade. Very nice gentleman. And one day I was sitting at his table talking to him. He had a problem with his door lock. And it was one of the few times he actually had his sleeve rolled up. And I looked at his left arm and I knew exactly what I was looking at. And I asked him in my teenage boyish ignorance, were you in one of the camps? And he looked at me and he said, yes, I was. He was a child. And I'm not for sure which camp, but I believe he said Auschwitz, but I can't remember. Therefore, I asked him, okay, so how did you get out? And he told me that they were being retransported. So if it was the camp that I mentioned, then they were having to move east back towards Germany. And he got off, and I believe he said it took like either 3 weeks or 6 weeks to get to Allied lines and be saved, but he lost his whole family. I mean, he was the only survivor. That's it. Yet the world press at the time, they couldn't fathom this. The leaders of the free world couldn't fathom this. Even when Stalin's forces freed, I believe it's pronounced Majdanek, that camp, and released the pictures, the British and the Americans, Roosevelt and Churchill, they didn't believe it. They thought it was a propaganda stunt. Really. But it was the press that pushed the narrative. It was the press that kept telling the German people, even when the Russians were on the Oder and were crossing the Rhine, that the world, that the war is not lost. Even though your cities, Aachen, Cologne, Hamburg, Berlin, Munich, Frankfurt, Essen, are in ruins from the Allied air bombings, the people still believe the press because they heard the same stories every day. It didn't matter how many of them were dying. Why would the press lie to us? Well, we saw it in Vietnam. When the press really got involved and came up with their own agenda. Now, I will say, Lyndon Johnson did a horrible job of managing. He didn't even manage that war. That was a farce. That's all it was. And 55, 58,000 Americans and 350,000 wounded and maimed paid the price for his pitiful foreign policy of not going in and trying to win this. So the press gets involved. And in 1968, during the Tet Offensive, it was the first time the press really took a turn against the government, and that would be the all-heralded and hailed Walter Cronkite when he said the war in Vietnam cannot be won. And that's all it took, because he was the top man. I believe he was with CBS. And from that point on, it was a downhill battle for our men and women that went over to Vietnam trying to implement a poor policy. It didn't matter that Nixon got into office and said, we're either going to win it or we're going to get out. We finally had direction on which way the war was going to go. But the press was relentless. In fact, in General Giap's memoir, who was the top North Vietnamese commander-in-chief, he said if the bombing of Hanoi would have continued for another 2 weeks, they would have surrendered because there would have been nothing left of Hanoi. Because up until Nixon became president, there were a lot of targets in Hanoi that were off limits to us. So our planes were sent into the most heavily fortified AK-AK installations in all of North Vietnam. And our pilots were forced to fly into those areas because they knew, well, they can't attack this and they can't attack that because Haiphong Harbor, we've got commercial shipping from around the world. We knew the Russians were already involved and we couldn't go after those air bases. And Nixon took off the gloves and said, take them out. But the press had already made up their mind that it can't be won. And that's what we're going to tell the American people. And that's exactly what they did. It can't be won. So the country turns against it. Our soldiers come back. And thanks to the press, they're vilified as baby killers. Now, I'll give the press credit for the My Lai Massacre. There are several documentaries on that show, on that event, and what Lieutenant Calley did. That is their job. That's what they're supposed to report, not make up fictitious reports. So when you move forward into today's press, if that's what you wish to call it, or journalism. In fact, I just had a debate over that from a gentleman who has been a journalist for 40 years, and he posed the question on what is wrong with journalism today and how can it be fixed? And I gave him my 2 cents worth. We aren't getting journalism as it is defined by Webster's. What we are getting are shows. And I'm 60 years old, so anybody my age or older remembers the Ed Sullivan Show. And he would start his monologue and he would introduce all the acts that we're going to have on. And if you're an Elvis fan or the Doors fan, the Rolling Stones, they all appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. This was prior to Johnny Carson. It's like, if you make it on Ed Sullivan, you've made it. With Johnny Carson, it was the same thing. You make Carson's the late night show, the Tonight Show, you're on your way to stardom as long as you keep working at it. Well, that's where Ed Sullivan needs to come in, because he would always say, and away with the show. And folks, that's all we're getting today. Whether it's Fox, MSNBC, CNN, you name it, and even the papers, the slant of the press right now, that's all it is. We aren't getting the news. I grew up with 30 minutes of world news that came on at 5:30. Then we had the local news at 6, and they also did a broadcast at 10 o'clock at night. And those were broadcasts. They weren't shows. Now, we did have 2 papers back in that day. You got one in the morning, you got one in the evening. Read it, see how it matches up with the broadcast, see what you heard on the major networks, which back then were ABC, CBS, and NBC. That's it. No more. Not this 24-hour crap that we are being subjected to on a daily basis. We got the news, because there was no time for the op-eds or the opinions or the 10 to 15 minute monologue that every one of these aren't anchors that you see on these networks. They're showmen, and they are overpaid showmen or show women. That's all they are. It is insanity. And they don't talk to you. If you really break it down and watch it, they don't talk to you. They are talking at you. And the difference is, when I talk at you, that's because I am going to do my damnedest to convince you that my point of view is the right one and any other one is a bunch of shit. And that's what you see from these big three right now. And they always just look you right in the camera and say, you're smarter than that, aren't you? Because you know, because you're Americans and you know what I'm saying is true. The hell I do. That was like when you guys went after Nick Sandman when he was in D.C. and that Indian was standing there beating his drum. This is a high school student. He's just standing there, never does a thing, never moves, never says a word. And this Native American is beating his drum in front of him, and the media went nuts that he was, yeah, he's wearing a MAGA hat. Big deal. This is America. We can wear what we want to, or so we are told. And the press lost their mind over that. And they called this kid everything but a member of the, you know, the Grand Wizard of the KKK. And I saw all the posts on Facebook, all these people jumping on board and denouncing him for standing and looking at this man who's beating a drum in front of him. And then, as Paul Harvey would say, and now for the rest of the story. It only costs CNN $275 million in a defamation suit. And this kid has sued every one of the networks that attempted, they didn't attempt, they did defame him. That's the power of the media. Do you see those networks being sued? Do you see a big banner across their screen? We just lost a $270 million lawsuit because the story was wrong. No, they might give a under the breath apology, but they're not going to sit there and say we were wrong. Why? You're not weathermen. You're not sportscasters, but y'all acting like it. Well, we can be wrong and we're still right. And we're still going to continue spreading whatever BS we want to. And this is all of the networks, but there's one, and I'm going to save this, that isn't doing that because it's not a show. It's a broadcast. You know, I think of one of the biggest battles in World War II for the American side, and won the Battle of the Bulge. It was called the Falaise Pocket. Patton had finally broken through the Hedgerow country in a brilliant move. He and Bradley had come up with this operation, and they finally sliced through and came reeling around. I mean, they just bypassed the bulk of the German 7th Army. And then Monty was up there at Caen, and he was supposed to seal off the north and the northeast sector. So the armies converged, they meet, and they've trapped the biggest army in France next to the 15th SS Panzer that's still sitting up at Calais waiting for the invasion. Yeah, Hitler, you got that one right. But in the movie Fury, if you've seen it, there is a scene where Brad Pitt, they're in a town that they have taken. He's trying to have dinner with these two German women. And then here comes his crew and what's left of them. And they're drunk and they're horny and they're upset that they weren't invited to the party. Well, the actor starts talking about the pocket and how bad it was because the new driver, Norman, he was just new. They took him off the line. He was in headquarters as a typist, and you kind of saw that in the movie Private Ryan. And he's an assistant tank driver, machine gunner. So he starts talking about how bad it was and the miles and miles of destruction, and it really was. Those pictures didn't get back to the American public. Because it was. You can go to history books and look at it. If our press today would have covered the Falaise Pocket with that type of coverage, the American people would not only have been appalled, they would have probably said, this is inhumane. If they would have seen pictures and listened to the stories of the firestorm at Hamburg and Dresden, they would have very possibly risen up and said they have suffered enough. The war needs to end now. But then we hadn't seen the worst of the concentration camps. And when those pictures came out, and Eisenhower, when he heard about them, as we started liberating these work camps, he got the press together and said, you take every picture you can, expend every roll of film from your cameras and your movies, movie cameras, because in 100 years, in 150 years, people aren't going to believe this. So it was well documented. Well, then why are there books out there that saying it didn't happen? And people are ascribing to this philosophy because they're ignorant and they haven't read anything. And that's one of the biggest messages. What you are getting from the shows of CNN and MSNBC and Fox is a show. It's their show. Therefore, on their show, they are going to tell you what they want you to know, not what you need to know, what they want you to know. And when they do that, they take away the ability for their viewing public to have deductive reasoning and eliminate all hopes of common sense, because they're banking that you won't question their facts. But are they really facts? This is what is missing in today's society. God, I hate that word, but it fits in this case. They're banking that you're going to be like the German people of the 30s, that you're going to believe what they say, because they're going to hammer it into you every single day. They have publications that will support the same stories. Just like a recent one, a friend of mine posted a story about the mayor of, I forgot the city in Tennessee. It might have been Nashville. I think it was Nashville. That the leading story that Tucker Carlson had, because a friend of mine posted it on Facebook, was how the mayor of Nashville was withholding vital public information. And this centered around opening or not opening bars, and how they had these stats of all the people that had died. I believe the number was like, I don't know, I'll just say 750 or 1,000, that only 22 had been from the bars. And it was just all riled up, and people carried the story. People posted the story. Newspapers carried the story. And you know what none of them did? They didn't fact check anything. They ran with it. Oh, it has to be true. Bullshit. When my friend posted that story, I just stared at it. And I raised an eyebrow or two and said, well, this just doesn't make any sense. But I didn't share it. I did like his post, but I had to think about it. Sadly, I did not take the time to research it, because the full context of the story, just like Nick Sandman, had not come to surface yet. But today, it did. And the whole story was proven as false. There was no merit to it. The mayor had never suppressed the information. It was there for all to see on their website. But nobody took the time to research the story. Why? Didn't fit the narrative. But it was sensational. And it sure made this mayor look bad, and it fit the idea of the COVID hoax and all this crap, which we know it isn't a hoax. We are still trying to figure out what, just how to combat this virus. Did it come from China? Yes. Okay. What are you going to do? Are you going to hold the country of China accountable? What are you going to do? Send them a bill for all the Americans that have died and the Italians and the Spaniards and the British and the Peruvians and the Brazilians? Are you going to send China a bill for letting this thing escape from a lab or deliberately unleashed? Well, according to the WHO, back in March, the Chinese had it under control, or February. It was nothing to worry about. Maybe you remember this. The press glossed over that, and they still are to this day. Why? Because they have a narrative to push. And it's appalling. What are the facts? Do we know the facts of how the virus was released? No. Do we know how it got to Italy? No. We can assume, we can make assumptions. Do we know how it got to Spain? No. Do we know how the first cases got to Seattle? No. Did we know how that first case popped up in North California? No. And we sure the hell don't know how that bomb went off in New York City and wound up taking the lives of over 34,000 people. But we do have assumptions and speculations, but what we don't have are the facts. Well, I always thought journalism was supposedly based on facts. You hear of a story, you start looking into the story, you start investigating the story, you start accumulating the facts surrounding the story, and then you get sources that you can readily identify to back the facts that you have uncovered. Is it true or not? And if it's true, we're going to publish the story. If it's false, then we've got to sit on it for a while. You really think that's what goes on in the media today? Why, hell no. We've got to be first. We'll worry about being correct and factual later. We want to be first because that's what's important. That's what our viewers want. No, that's not what your viewers want. And if it is, then they're dumb as doornails. Or is it because you have pushed your propaganda so far that they have lost the ability of cognitive reasoning? Now think about that. If I walked up to you and said, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and let me back up. It's December 10th, 1941, and I'm a news reporter, and I'm about to release a story that's going to just blow everyone's minds away. Yes, the Japanese, it was an unprovoked attack on Pearl Harbor. Well, I've uncovered evidence that suggests not only did the Navy War Department and the president know the Japanese were coming, they let it happen so that we could be launched into World War II. I'd have been sent to jail. That would have been an act of treason against the United States government. And think about that. Yet, if we don't get into World War II and go back and look at a map, and Japan does everything but attack Pearl Harbor, What's going to get us into that war? Are we going to declare war over Guam, Wake, the Philippines? Doubtful, because our sovereign soil hasn't been attacked. And I posed that question to my parents before they passed decades ago. And they just stared at me like, what do you mean? And I said, the Japanese don't attack Pearl Harbor. What do we do? Do we go to war? Very doubtful. So there is, and it is a conspiracy theory, that Roosevelt knew he had to let it happen. Because when you look at our warships of that era versus the Japanese armada, if we'd have taken to the high seas, none of our ships would have come back. We might have taken a few of them with us, but they would have decimated our entire Pacific fleet. Their heavy cruisers were more than a match for our battleships, the West Virginia, the Nevada, the Oklahoma, the Arizona, the California, you name it. They were severely outgunned. But it's the press. What are you going to do about that? You know, look at it today. Do you honestly see a story that is factually based? No bias, no opinion, no spin. Do you see that? I have found it. I mentioned this earlier in this, and I was saving it. WGN just released a new platform, and this is a news broadcast, and it came out September 1st. It's called News Nation. It is not a show. It is an actual broadcast. Nothing is sensationalized, and that includes the weather. Do you remember 3 weeks ago when there were two hurricanes forming up in the Caribbean and the Gulf, and they were going to slam into, one was going to hit the east side of the Mississippi and one was going to hit the west side of the Mississippi? Everybody is posting it. Everybody is scared shitless that these two hurricanes are going to finish what Katrina didn't tear up. And what happened? One of them died out. Now, the other one did hit, but it was sensationalized. Why? All you have to do is say there is a hurricane in the Gulf, and this is what we think is going to happen. However, this can change. You don't hear that, but we're going to tell you, well, it's going to get up to a category 2. No, it looks like a 3. No, Bill over there says it's going to be a 4, and you're going to have a 20-foot tidal surge. So instead of telling you, okay, we got this hurricane coming, this is where it's at. And go back to the reporting on Katrina. Because remember, Katrina started out in the Atlantic. And when she crossed Florida, she damn near died. Nothing but a tropical storm when she got in the Gulf. And then it sat there and sat there and got bigger and bigger. And since it wasn't moving and the, quote, experts couldn't get a grip on it, they were just twiddling their thumbs going, well, what do we say about it? They were stupefied because the storm wasn't following their narrative. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when it started to move, they all just lost their minds. It's a hurricane. Ask those folks in Galveston back in 1900 about the hurricane that hit their island and only killed 5,000 people. But they couldn't sensationalize Katrina until she hit. The only good thing about that was there were enough warnings, intelligent, calm, concise warnings, get out now. Because we don't know what she's going to do. Now that, to me, is reporting. And that message was transmitted to the panhandle of Florida, to Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, in Texas. Leave. Let's see what happens. And they actually couldn't scare the hell out of everybody, and I believe that actually upset them. You hear that the press is the enemy. We've heard it from Trump. We've heard it from the conservative side. The press is not the enemy unless they choose to be. Hearst gave us yellow journalism. He gave us the war with Spain. If you read anything about Pulitzer and his war with the papers up in New York, he followed the same mantra of it doesn't have to be right. We got to be first. You know, George Washington had a chance in his second term to change our Constitution when it addressed freedom of the press. The press went after who was called the father of our nation with pitchforks and knives. When he put down the Whiskey Rebellion, they referred to him as a king, as a puppet of the crown, even though he'd kicked their ass and sent them packing back across the Atlantic. And George actually thought about suppressing the press and going after them. Now, we can debate whether he should or shouldn't have done that, because the stories were false. He was a soldier. He put down a rebellion. He had the leader of the rebellion executed for treason, but he let everybody else go home. Now, he could have gone to the press and shut them down, but he realized that is one of the foundations of this country, because you sure didn't have it in England under the monarchies. You didn't have it in Europe under the monarchies. You didn't have it in Russia under the czars, or China, or Japan back in the 18th century. We are the first ones that really have a free press that is allowed to criticize our officials in office. And when they do wrong, they should be called out. And when they do right, they should be praised. And this is what the new show, News Nation, is doing. I've stopped watching the news steadily since for a week now. I will turn it on just to see what's going on. But I don't turn it on to hear the blame game. If I watch News Nation for 15, 20 minutes, I'll switch back over just to see if my conclusions and deductions are correct on what I've been seeing on the other three networks. And it's correct. They're talking at me, and I turn that shit off. And I go back to News Nation, or I'll find a rerun of something else if I've already heard, okay, this is everything I need to know. You can take the California wildfires. The media is more interested in who to blame than marshaling the resources to put the damn fires out. I've seen the stories of, well, this is how Canada has managed their land, and they aren't going through this because we are led to believe that the entire West Coast has burned up. And it's just been horrible. Well, obviously, there's something wrong. Is it mismanagement of lands? Is it an unseasonably hot summer? Is it a drought? Is it a combination of the three? Well, that's going to take some research, and that's going to take some analysis, and that's going to take some deductive reasoning, and that's going to take pulling your head out, and let's put together all the facts and just not the ones we want to push on everybody, and have them believe it so that if there is blame to be assigned, we will be blameless when it's all said and done. Some of you might agree in global warming. That's fine. I live, as I said, in Dallas, Texas. I have worked outside almost all my life. I have worked through some of the most brutal summers that I can remember. I have lived through droughts in Dallas, and they have been bad. But for the last 2 years, our summers have been mild in comparison. I was here in the year that it didn't get below 100. The lows in the evening set a record. I think it was the highest lows because it never got below 85. And then during the day, it set records for like 45 days, 105, 110. It never went down. 06 was a horrible year. It was dry. It was hot. That was bad. And then we got torrential. We finally got some rain, and then we had mass flooding and all that. You know, we've only been keeping records for 150 years on weather patterns. And the planet's been around for how many tens of thousands of years? I really don't think we have a clue on how these patterns affect us. But I'm not a scientist. I'm not a meteorologist. That is just my opinion. And because, well, how can you make a determination on something you've only been tracking for 150, let's say 200 years, and the planet's been around how many tens of thousands or millions of years? Well, I definitely don't have all the facts to become a, quote, climatologist, because there's a whole lot of history that I can't fall back on because there are no records. And this is my problem with the press today. And the show Atlas Shrugs, it really goes over it. Forget about being conservative. Forget about being liberal. But like the Germans in the 30s, this show, which it's a book that Ayn Rand wrote, it shows what happens when the state controls the media. When the media supports the state, it is not a good marriage. It is a very bad combination. And this is what Americans need to start looking at. There will always be Democrats and Republicans and independents in this nation. This is the way it was designed. We can have differing views. We don't have to agree with everything one says. But if we're not going to agree, then come up with your own opinion. Not what someone else tells you. And I did this with my son. His friends were over at the house, and this had to have been 2000. Yeah, it was 2000, so the election's coming up. And I explained to these boys why I was voting for Bush Jr. And two or three of them said, well, that's good enough for me. I'm going to vote for him. And I said, no, that's not good enough for you, because now you're only relying on my opinion, and that is not enough. You guys do your own research. I've done mine. I've told you why I'm voting for him. Now you do yours. And if you think Al Gore follows the principles that you adhere to more staunchly than Bush Jr. does, then that's who you vote for. Do not cast your vote based on my opinion only, because that makes you stupid and ignorant, and you don't want to be that. And this is what I see day after day after day on Facebook, on Twitter, on the major medias. It's their opinion, and by God, you will accept their opinion and you will sign onto their opinion, and you will not, by any stretch of the imagination, question their opinion, because who the hell are you and what do you know? Well, my response to that is, I did my research, you dumb son of a bitch. And I know you're wrong. And since I can back up the facts of my position, I don't have to listen to you. In fact, I can turn you off, and I'm going to watch my blood pressure drop 20 to 30 points. I'm going to find out that my mind is starting to clear because I'm not getting hammered with all your crap day after day after day after day. I am starting to think for myself. I am learning how to research, and I am learning how to formulate valid points and ideas that are in direct conflict with what you keep trying to force down my throat. So why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it? And I would love to do that. I would love to be able to go visit these anchors, and I don't give a damn which station it is, and just ask them, what and who the hell do you think you are? And I don't give a damn about what school you went to. I don't care about how many diplomas you got, and I don't care where you got them. What I care about is, where are you getting your facts? Because I can get five people together that don't have the education you do, and we can come up with a factual story that you won't believe because it's based in facts. And it's not supporting an agenda or a political party. So what do you think about that? I mean, I really didn't want to get into this, but after watching these movies that I mentioned, that was the recurring theme, is the propaganda that comes from the press. Now, this new show, News Nation, so far, they're adhering to the principles, the basic principles of journalism, is get the facts before you release the story. We don't want to release the story and then get the facts, because we're not in the business of apologizing. We are in the business of informing our viewers and not forcing them to think. And I believe when the vast majority of Americans wake up and turn off the news and stop arguing on Facebook and Twitter and blogs and any other social media outlet you can think of about who's right and who's wrong. Now, there will still be a sect that will still believe everything they're told because they don't want to think for themselves. But I would like to believe that there is at least 60 to 70% of this country that still has the ability to go back to the day when they could think and when they could talk with opponents. And they're not opponents, but with those of differing views, and come to a civil conclusion, whether you agree or disagree. It's the ability to reason and discuss in an intelligent manner. Because for us to just sit there and say, I'm right and you're wrong, nobody benefits from that. And if you think you do, Well, then you're very closed-minded and are part of the problem. So give this new network, News Nation on WGN, a chance. You just might like it. This is Jeff Dawson signing off, and I will see you in 2 weeks. I hope you enjoyed our time together. I know I did. Without you wonderful listeners, this show would not be possible. If you want to know more about me and how my brain works, that's a scary thought, check out my books at jeffdawsononamazon.com, websites LDDJ Enterprises and jeffdawsonauthor.site for upcoming releases and teaser excerpts from past and present publications. You can also contact me at Facebook, LDDJ Enterprises Publishing, or email LDDJEnterprises@gmail.com or on Twitter at JeffDawson59. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Dawson's Domain.